This is Day to Day from NPR News, back with a National Geographic Radio Expeditions interview. I'm Madeline Brand.
I'm Alex Chadwick. The subject this time, George Schaller, for decades one of the world's leading naturalists, as director of science and exploration for the Wildlife Conservation Society. About half the year, he wanders around mountains and valleys somewhere, Asia mostly these days, in vast spaces we think of as empty, which is where a lot of the remaining wildlife is. George Schaller really is expert on lions and tigers and bears and apes and other things. It's easier with big animals to engage people's interest, he says, and the zoologist spends as much time thinking about human communities as he does animals. He wants to persuade the people in these not really empty spaces to save their wildlife. He's remarkably effective at it in China, Pakistan, and elsewhere, including this country, helping to establish enormous areas of protected land. Now, the culmination of 20 years of work, he's planning for an international conference in an area where almost everyone is more worried about smugglers and terrorists than the environment. A border region between Afghanistan, Pakistan, Tajikistan, and China. In eastern Afghanistan, there's a great long valley called the Wakhan Corridor. A couple of months ago, in a wood-paneled room at the National Geographic Society in Washington, George Schaller spread out a map titled The Mountains of Central Asia and pointed to the Pamir Mountains, where he had spent months looking for Marco Polo sheep.
It was first described by Marco Polo in 1273. It's a sheep with the longest horns, and the world record over the curve is 75 inches. Therefore, it's been an almost mythical animal that trophy hunters and museum hunters wanted. A hunter may pay $20,000 to $25,000 to shoot one, and ideally that money should go to conservation and it should go to the local communities.
Does it?
No. The local communities, they don't benefit in any real way, which means they don't feel they gain anything from having the Marco Polo sheep.
How are things going in this Wakhan Corridor?
The two critical ones right now are Tajikistan and Afghanistan. We went with a photographer and writer funded by the National Geographic to make a survey of the Afghan Marco Polo sheep. So we spent nearly 2 months going by yak, mostly, some by horse, up every valley counting animals, and we saw about 625 total. So there is still a reasonable population which, if protected, will continue to exist. But there has been very little control there. You can buy Marco Polo sheep meat in the restaurants in town.
You can?
Even though it's illegal. The officials hunt, the border guards hunt, the local people hunt for meat. So that will have to change because numbers, according to everybody, are going down. But, you know, conservation in a final analysis comes down to involving the local people. So you want to get some sort of harmony between the local herdsmen and the wildlife in the rangelands.
You were successful in getting a park in Pakistan, and the government of Pakistan did put that park there. Is it possible to deal with the Afghan government at this point in that way? Do they even really have authority over the Wakhan Corridor?
Afghan is very interested in conservation, and the Wildlife Conservation Society is planning a major effort there to help. That's one reason I'd like to get all four countries involved down here together around a table and discuss transfrontier issues. Ideally, you would have an international Pamir Peace Park, which simply means that countries share information. They cooperate on some things like research and education. They will discuss on where is the best way to set up strict reserves, hunting concessions, managing rangelands, all the different issues that you need to protect landscape for the benefit of the wildlife and the people. China is interested in hosting such a workshop, I hope next September.
September 2006.
Right.
How do you get this issue onto the agenda for the governments of Afghanistan and Pakistan, whose border attentions these days are mostly focused on where is Osama bin Laden? How do you get them to say, well, actually, we should be talking about Marco Polo sheep?
Every country has officials who are generally concerned about the future of their country, which a country doesn't have any future if it doesn't have a good environment. So, yes, there are officials in Kabul who are definitely interested. There are officials in Tajikistan. China is very concerned. Pakistan is already doing quite a bit in that area. You're dealing with people that actually want to do something, which makes one feel pleasurable. And aside from everything else, it's fun to watch the Marco Polo sheep. They're magnificent animals, the most magnificent of all sheep, and to see them, particularly during late November and December, during the rut, when the big males get up on their hind legs and run at each other and bash their heads together with a crack that you can hear nearly a mile away. The interactions between these animals is just enjoyable to see. That's the main reason I went into wildlife.
Because you like it.
Because I like it, and I like mountains. But, you know, no scientist can really just go and study something. I think you have a moral responsibility, if you want to call it that, to try to help protect what you study. That's the difficult part.
Wouldn't some scientists say, actually, you shouldn't be involved that way? The role of a pure scientist exactly is to just study, to gather research, to gather data.
I don't think there is such a thing as a pure scientist. You can't sit and watch an animal and stay completely objective. You automatically get emotionally involved. In fact, you should. I couldn't think of anything more dreadful than a pure scientist who isn't emotionally involved in what he or she does. So conservation is usually not fun because of social problems, economic problems, political problems, but it's essential to do if you want to help the animals. So you have all these little problems that ultimately will resolve themselves.
George, you're such an optimist.
Oh, well, you have to be. I find it very distressing to be an optimist, but I'm ever hopeful. Hope always transcends experience. You know, in conservation, the only way you get anything done is to focus on something and work at it. Okay, you win a few, lose a few, but more often than not, you actually do accomplish something.
George Schaller, thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
We have pictures of George Schaller and maps and more with links to the Wildlife Conservation Society at our website, npr.org.